I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5. That's where our scripture reading was this morning. Brother Taylor, thank you for reading that for us. It was a lengthier passage of scripture, and I hope that you were listening. I know there was quite a bit that takes place in this passage of scripture. Personally, for me, it's one of my favorite passages of scripture in the Bible, and that's not only because that's where my son's name comes from, if you notice that. And really what the meaning behind that name of Jairus, and I know we say Jairus, but the meaning behind that name, I'd encourage you to look that up. But there's a lot that takes place here with Jairus, with the woman with the issue of blood, and we're not going to necessarily go through the entire passage of Scripture again today, but we will highlight some things as we go through the Scripture this morning. But I would at least like to read the opening part of this, the Scripture that Brother Taylor read for us. And so that's again in Mark 5, and we'll start with verse 21, and we'll read a few verses here just to remind us of what's taking place. So Mark 5 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." We're just going to stop reading for now this morning, but I would just like to begin by saying, our response to the problems, and if I can use this word, I don't think we use it a whole lot anymore. It was probably more in the late 90s and early 2000s, but issues that we have. So our response to the problems or the issues that we face really reveal how we perceive God. Our response in the face of adversity, in the face of problems and issues and whatever you want to call them, circumstances, situations, in a way reveals how we perceive God. And we'll get into that here in just a moment, because we're going to look at the perception a little bit of each of these individuals. And obviously there's many more people that are involved in this, but really we're going to look at two characters this morning. And really we're going to contrast so those differences, but also see and compare them and really see that there's really not a whole lot different between these two individuals. Now, their circumstances were different, but really there are some comparisons that I believe we can draw from these two individuals that would be a help to us. So the question I'd like to ask you this morning is, what can you do about these issues that you face in your life? What can you do? What can we do? So the title, if you need a title for the messages, is just simply how to deal with issues. How to deal with issues. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise your name for the day that you've given to us. We ask and pray that you would guide and direct in all that is said and all that is done. May your Holy Spirit move and work and guide and direct, and would you meet with us this morning? Lord God, would you anoint this vessel with your Spirit? And Lord God, would you speak through me? Lord God, as only you can. Lord God, may your voice be the one that's heard this morning. Lord God, I'm just a tool, just a mouthpiece for your service. Lord God, I know this message is for me just as much as it is for anybody else. Lord God, I do thank you for giving the thoughts to me that you'd have me to share with those here. Lord God, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would even work and even reveal even other things to those that are listening this morning. Dear God, may your voice be heard. I pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning's message, we're going to look at four details from this passage of Scripture that would help us in our response to the problems or the issues that we face. So four details, and I'll give you those four details, and then we're going to get more into the message this morning. So the first detail we're going to look at are the characters. So the characters, those who are affected. The second detail we'll look at are the conditions. So the symptoms of how are those, or what affects those individuals. We're going to see also their cries. So how they felt about the situations that they're in. And then the last detail is the cure, where help can be found. So where help can be found. So the first detail I'd like for us to take notice are the characters. And we read those already, and we know who they are. The first character is that of Jairus, the ruler, or one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, which synagogue, I don't know, but for somebody that was a ruler of the synagogue, everybody knew the ruler of the synagogue. Perhaps they were the VIPs in each one of those cities. And when somebody saw one of the rulers of the synagogue, they would probably say, "Hey," just like how we, when we see Pastor, "Hey, Pastor, how you doing?" You know, when they saw one of those rulers of the synagogue, they said, "Hey, Jairus, how you doing today?" They'd give him a greeting. Everybody knew who Jairus was. But then we have this other character. We have the woman with the issue of blood. And if I could just even just kind of give you a thought on her, probably just a downtrodden, plain Jane. A downtrodden, plain Jane. One who was diseased with an issue of blood, as it says in Matthew chapter 9, the parallel text to this. We know that she was a woman who was financially stressed. As we read in Scripture today, she's a woman who had gone to many doctors and physicians, specialists, experts in health, to find some relief for this issue of blood that she had. Yet, what do we find in Scripture? She didn't get better. She only got worse. In fact, my thought is she was probably an outcast in the community. An obscure woman, if you will. And in some cases, probably an obscene woman. And we'll get into that a little bit here in just a moment. But we've got character one, Jairus, VIP, probably perhaps the most important person in his community. And when people see him, they know him. And then you have this plain, downtrodden, plain Jane, who probably nobody wants anything to do with, especially if they knew what she was dealing with. Quickly, let's kind of think about these two individuals. This Jairus. Now remember, he's a ruler of the synagogue, and I'm very sure that he heard of Jesus, because Jesus had already performed some miracles in the synagogue, and remember, the people, the religious rulers in the day were not happy, especially since Jesus is working on the Sabbath day. So I'm sure that Jairus, along with all the other men in the synagogue, knew who Jesus was, and they probably had a little bit of a problem with him. So imagine this. Jairus, he's got his daughter, who is sick at the point of death, and I'm sure he's gone to doctors, physicians, and trying to heal his daughter. But now his last resort is this one who calls himself Jesus, the Son of God. Can you picture him coming to Jesus and perhaps not thinking too highly of Jesus? Perhaps there was even some difficulty when he knelt at Jesus' feet. Perhaps his faith in Jesus was not that Jesus was the Messiah, but just that he was a teacher who could heal people. He probably didn't think too highly of Jesus, but seeing as, hey, this is my last resort, I might as well go. What can it hurt? But then you have, and again, that's just speculation, conjecture. We have no idea how he felt. Perhaps he was truly and deeply wanting Jesus. And he trusted that Jesus was the Messiah. But speculation, all conjecture. But then we have this plain Jane, who, when she heard of Jesus, she came not from in front, but she came from behind. Perhaps too embarrassed to even show her face to Jesus and even have anybody see her. But you see, with each of these individuals, they had issues. They had problems. And in our case, we too face different issues and problems and circumstances. Not a one of us in here have the same issues and problems. Now, we may have similar, but you know something about the problems that we face in life, the adversity and the issues? They don't discriminate. They're going to come. Hey, we've got the VIP, Jairus. He's got problems. We have this downtrodden plain Jane. She has problems. VIP to outcast. And all in between. I'm sure all those people that thronged Jesus that day had problems. Because why else would they see Jesus outside of just hearing him? Perhaps they wanted to be healed or knew somebody that wanted to be healed, that needed to be healed. But also these problems that are experienced by all, seems like there's not a distinct timetable. They just come. It's like out of nowhere, randomly, boom. Wait, where did that problem come from? It was always there, but now it's come to the surface. But there's no distinct timetable. They seem random. And so in their case, those two individuals in Scripture, the timing couldn't probably have been any worse. But think about it for us. We're all ready for that problem to come. All right, problem, I'm ready for you. With a smile on our face, right? I don't think that's how it works all the time. But the problems are experienced by all. They don't discriminate, and there's no real timetable for them. So the first detail were those characters, Jairus and that downtrodden plain Jane. The second detail I'd like for us to just consider are the conditions. What were their symptoms? For Jairus, verse number 23 of our scripture, it tells us that he besought Jesus greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." Now we know this little girl is 12 years old. We see it in Scripture, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We see how old she is. 12-year-old girl. And she is this man's only daughter. Now, perhaps it's his only child. I don't know if this is his only child, but this is his only daughter. Perhaps his pride and joy. And now the one that she loves, now the one that he loves, is lying on her bed at death's door. Perhaps in his case, there was some, in him and his wife, there was some physical exhaustion, running from doctor to doctor, to physician, from appointment to appointment. And now they're just physically exhausted. And perhaps sleepless nights have added to that physical exhaustion. Perhaps there was even some mental fatigue. What are we going to do? We've gone to this person. We've got a second opinion. We've even gotten a third opinion. What can we do now? So probably some mental fatigue. There's probably some emotional anguish. Oh, that it was me on the bed near death and not this little girl. Parents, you've probably felt that way about your children, that when they're sick and they're hurting and there's all you can do and all that I can do with my kids is just pray for them. We can make them as comfortable as possible, give them fluids, give them medication, but our bodies can't fight their sickness. Their little bodies have to fight that sickness. And there are oftentimes, I feel for my little guy. He got sick this morning, and so I wanted him to be able to be part of the service this morning. But he got sick. Oh, I felt bad for him. And I know mom did too. And it's like, man, we want to take that sickness from your little guy. But, you know, his body has to, that immune system that he's building and continuing to build is going to have to fight that. Oh, what we'd want to do for our children. Oh, what Jairus wanted to do for his daughter. His conditions, his symptoms, those physical exhaustion, mental fatigue, emotional anguish, sleepless nights. Have any of you been there before? A problem or an issue or an adversity or something in your lives that just keeps you up at night? And I know we should pray about everything. Be careful for nothing. Bring your requests to God. Peace that passes all understanding would come. But you know what? God knows our frailties. He knows that we are humans. He knows that we are dust. You know, we still tend to worry. There was this plain Jane. Her condition, her symptoms. In verse number 25, we find a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what exactly this issue of blood was, and we can speculate and kind of maybe even in our own minds try to figure out what that issue of blood was. But that issue, that word issue simply means flowing. A flux. It's constant. And this woman had an issue of blood. So she had something about her that her blood from time to time would run out. Now that issue of blood is some kind of bleeding episode, if you will. And as a female, it could have been heavy menstrual bleeding or even a certain type of blood clotting disorder. In some cases, and I'm not going to go into any specific, it could be, and I'm just going to use it this way, as an STD, because that can even cause levels of bleeding. Perhaps some inward trauma. But obviously, either way, 12 years is a long time. It was a chronic situation that she's dealing with. In medical terms today, the term would be a blood dyscrasia. And it would probably made her weak, lethargic, and very unattractive to the public, to men, and even her own family. She was possibly anemic. I mean, anemia is that condition in which you lack enough healthy red blood cells to carry adequate oxygen to your body's tissues. It can make you feel tired and weak, and it can be something that's temporary or even long-term. And it can range from mild to severe. Whatever this lady's issue is, whatever the blood issue that she has, she's suffering physically, emotionally, mentally, and she's desperate for any type of help. Think about this. This woman was ceremonially unclean. If we were to go back to the book of Leviticus, and I'd encourage you to write that down, in Leviticus chapter 15, God actually lays out what should happen, what needs to happen for those that have an issue of blood. Some of it pertaining to men, but a lot of it pertaining to women. And this lady, this woman, would fall underneath that category. Think about this. She was not only ceremonially unclean, but she was virtually perpetually unclean. We can use this terminology. She was as a bruised reed in her community. A bruised reed. Hebrew children would often go down by the riverside to play. This is where the reeds would grow. One of the things these reeds were useful for was that they made good flutes. So the children would cut them down, hollow them out, and make flutes out of them. The riverbank would be full of these reeds, and many of them were less than perfect. If they came across one that was cracked or bruised, they would break it in half and toss it away. After all, they needed reeds of a certain quality in order to make a flute that would play well. Cracked or bruised reeds, think about this, were worthless. They weren't good for anything. Bruised reeds can easily be seen as a symbol of people. And in the eyes of the people that were around her, I think this lady could be considered a bruised reed. Worthless, not good for anything. Can you see how she may have felt? You know what the devil tries to do? Tries to take the problems that surround us, the issues that we face, the adversities, circumstances, situations, and tries to put a little thought in our head saying, you know, you're in this situation because God doesn't love you. You're in this situation and you have no hope of getting out of it. You know what? You're worthless. You're pitiful. You're pathetic. Satan, the devil, will use those tactics not only in the lost, but even in believers as well. He knows he can't take a believer to hell with him, but he can do whatever he can using situations, circumstances to discourage This woman's condition not only was physically debilitating, but think about what it did to her. It disqualified her from being married. She couldn't get married. She couldn't touch anybody for risk of them becoming unclean. It disqualified her from religious life in general. Guess what? Guess what an unclean person couldn't do? Go to the synagogue. Because they walk in, sit down. Guess what just became unclean? The place where they sat. Anybody touches her, guess who becomes unclean? The person that touches her. Anybody that sits in the chair where she just sat becomes unclean. Disqualified from religious life in general. And due to this hemorrhaging, this constant bleeding for 12 years, again, perpetually unclean. Think of the burden of trying to clean clothes and linens virtually on a daily basis for 12 years. Now, ladies, how would you like to do laundry every day for 12 years? Now, in some cases, in some homes, it feels like it's every day for 12 years or for however old your kids are. But she has to do this constantly every day for 12 straight years. You think that was a little bit of anguish on her part? She was not to be among other people according to the laws of ritual purity. You know what she should have been? You're going to love this word because we hear it a lot today. Quarantined. She should have been quarantined. The laws of the day, the purity laws, became an impossible burden for her. She couldn't go out. She couldn't touch her family members. Those that she loved for risk of causing them to be unclean. She couldn't even give them a hug or even just touch their hand without them being unclean. She couldn't touch her family members. She couldn't enjoy a normal life. Constantly debilitated. Those conditions were horrible. Those issues and problems, they come in many forms and in many fashions, even in our own lives. They vary in, if I can just put it this way, in size. In our eyes, they may be small. But in other eyes, those molehills look like mountains. But they vary in size. They vary in degree of difficulty, if you will. That leaves us to that third detail, the cries. How did they feel? Let's look back at Jairus. Verse 23. His cry was, "My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live." His heart's cry was, "Lord Jesus, if you don't come, I'm going to lose somebody near and dear to me, and I don't want that to happen. Lord Jesus, please, can you hear the cry of this desperate father? Please come. Please. You're my daughter's last chance. If you don't, she's going to die. And that'll be it. I'm going to lose something near and dear to me." For the woman with the issue of blood, verse 28, her cry was this. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole." You know, I've gone to doctor here, I've gone to doctor there, I've gone to physicians, I've gone to this specialist, I've gone to that specialist. But I'm not getting any better. You know what her thought was, I believe? Jesus is here. What have I got to lose? I'm going to go to him. And if I may but touch a piece of his garment. Now, in parallel scriptures, we hear one scripture says the border. Well, another says the hem. But regardless of it is, you know what the hem is? Think of your pants, guys, ladies. It's the bottom. It's near the bottom of the clothing. It's... Think what she had to do. There are people thronging Jesus all around him, touching him, trying to speak to him, get close to him. You know what she has to do to touch the hem of his garment? Fight her way through the crowd and virtually get down on the ground, on her knees, just to reach out and touch just enough. But she had nothing to lose. Folks, the issues and problems we face have a way of bringing us to our knees. Hopefully, in humility to God. God, I don't know what, I don't know why I'm in this situation, but you've allowed it to happen and I'm trusting you to help me through it. It can bring us to our knees in futility and desperation. And even in some cases, our circumstances can bring us to our knees in anger and bitterness at God. How many people that we know, when adversity comes, when trials come, when those issues of life come, they take their fist and shake it in the face of God. Why did you have this? Why did you allow this to happen to me? Folks, these problems that we face, just like these individuals faced, brought them to their knees. Which brings us to the cure. Where did they go to find help? And as we know, both of these individuals, they came to Christ. The cure is found in Jesus Christ. We're going to go ahead and read some scripture back in Mark chapter 5. Back in verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly. Jairus, he saw Jesus. And again, whether he saw Jesus as his Messiah and said, Jesus, you are my only hope, or just as he saw Jesus as just a teacher and a healer, the one that does miracles, whatever the thought was, he saw Jesus. He knew that Jesus could do something about his situation. And he beseeches, he cries out, he pleads with Jesus urgently, fervently asking for a miracle. And then we know what happens. The crowd's throng, and there is a delay. Can you imagine what's going through Jairus' mind now at this, folks? He's like, hey, people, I came to Jesus first. Get out of here. We're going to my house. He's going to take care of my daughter. Perhaps those thoughts were going through his mind. But now there's a delay in Jesus getting to his house. He's probably thinking in his mind, man, if we don't hurry up, my daughter's going to die. We need to hurry. Why are these people all here? Please, get out of the way. I need Jesus to get to my house. Verse number 35. While yet he spake, this is Jesus, there came from the ruler of synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. All these people throng around Jesus, delaying Jesus getting to Jairus' house, only to come to find out after a short time, his daughter is dead. The thing that he feared most had come to pass. I'm sure he was downhearted, dejected, perhaps even had come to tears because his dear loved one had passed away. For those that have lost loved ones, can relate. We can relate to this man, especially if it's somebody that's near and dear to your heart. Although he was dejected, perhaps he was even a little frustrated. Because, you know what, if this delay hadn't happened, Jesus would have stopped that. Jesus wouldn't have allowed her to die. But do you hear Jesus' words? He encouraged him, saying not to be afraid, but what? But believe, have faith, as if to say, I know your daughter has just died, but don't worry, I am going to take care of this. Believe me, I am going to take care of this. Let's keep reading, verse 38. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed into scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, For she was of age, she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. He said, Jesus said, only believe. And as they keep going, they get to the ruler's house. And what we find here is a great miracle. Now, think of this. Jesus, what all this man had asked Jesus was to come heal his daughter. Daughter dies. Oh, Jesus can't heal her anymore. Right, she's passed away. But you know what Jesus can do? What is Jesus? He is the resurrection and the life. And the faith of this father and this mother, really, if I can put it this way, allowed that young lady to come back to life. There was a life-changing experience. Why? Because of faith. Faith in Christ, not in some other means, but faith in Jesus Christ alone. And the Bible says that they were astonished with great astonishment. They were overcome with the emotion of, if I can use this word, because I believe the Greek word that's behind this is that word ecstasy, which is the state of bewilderment by an extraordinary or supernatural act. They were amazed by what Jesus Christ had done for them. Jairus, he found the cure. That cure was Christ. But what about this plain Jane? Let's back up to verse 27 of Mark 5. We know she has this issue of blood. We know that people are thronging him. She's been to doctors, physicians, not getting any better. She's been getting worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. A woman, obscure, outcast of the community, heard of Jesus and too embarrassed to be out in the front, I'm sure, said, you know what? If I can just get coming from behind, hopefully no one will notice me. Hopefully there's not too many people. But if I can just touch the hem of his garment, the border of his clothes, that even just that would take care of this issue. I know Jesus can do something, and I'm just trusting that by coming to him and doing this, that I'll be healed of this disease. Verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? For me, that's a little comical, that last part, who touched my clothes? Because there's a lot of people touching Jesus at that point in time. But he knew that somebody got a hold of him. He knew that something happened. There was a woman who had problems, who had an issue that was beyond her control, who said, Jesus, if I can just touch you, just a little bit of you, I know you can make the difference in my life. She realized that a supernatural strength and power, that the virtue of Christ had healed her instantly. And then I love this in verse 33. That Jesus listened as she poured her heart out to him. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, fell down before him and told him all of the truth. In parallel passage in Luke 8, in verse 47, the Bible tells us that when she fell down at Jesus' feet, that everyone heard her. Sometimes our acts of faith need to be shared with many other people. The more acts of faith that we see, the more likely that we are to step out in faith ourselves. Perhaps there was somebody in that crowd that needed to see this. Somebody in that crowd that needed to hear that testimony of that woman. And what was Jesus' response? Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Faith in Christ saved that woman's life. Not in a touch, because Jesus didn't touch her. She touched his garment. Not in, really, the fabric that Jesus was wearing, but her faith was in Christ. And that saved her life. And I believe that not only saved her life physically,
but also spiritually.
Because Jesus does say, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, I understand that could be just simply in the physical sense. But do you think that there may have been a life-altering change and a life-altering decision in her life that was made that day? She was forever changed. You see, those individuals, Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood, that plain Jane, they had issues and problems that they were no match for. But the problem solver, the great physician, those issues and those problems were no match for him. Now, folks, do you have issues that are beyond your control? Adversities, problems. I know that I do. But you know what? There is someone that can solve all of those problems. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus longs to hear from us. Are you downhearted or dejected today? Are you hurting? Are you struggling? Jesus has supernatural, wonder-working power, and he can do great, mighty things beyond our thinking. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we hear of the God who can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even think. Faith in the mighty arm of God is required. Not in a man, not in people, but in a person, the man, Jesus Christ. He will change you. Where men fail, Christ succeeds. Folks, do we have issues? We have problems that we have no idea what to do. In the healing of the woman, we see that faith is in Christ alone, not magical touches that heal. The power is in the person, Jesus Christ, not a bit of fabric or formula. The raising of Jairus' daughter affirms the deity of Christ and proves that he is the Messiah, because only God, only the Messiah had power over death. As we know, Jesus Christ himself rose from the dead. Each of the individuals that we talked about, each of these characters, they were affected by something greatly, whether to somebody else or to them themselves. These individuals had conditions that caused them to suffer physically, mentally, emotionally. These individuals, they had heart cries. And they were brought to their knees. Yet each of these individuals went to the cure. And his name is Jesus Christ. Although their circumstances were different, although they came from two different walks of life, VIP, outcast. We may not be in a VIP status as the ruler of the synagogue, as Jairus. We may not be behind a pulpit preaching, being a pastor of a church, or have some other great position. We may not necessarily be the outcast of the community, where nobody wants anything a part of. But we fall somewhere in between. The problems we face, the issues that we face in life, they don't care who you are. They're going to come. And God allows those to come. What do you do about it? You see, how you respond reveals your perception of God. God, you can do this. I know you can. And I'm coming to you to help. Or, God, why? Each of these individuals who came to Christ perhaps perceived Jesus one way prior to his miracles and then completely different afterward. Each individual had a different set of circumstances and came from different walks of life, but each had to come to the end of themselves and needed Jesus to intervene. And thankfully, Jesus doesn't discriminate due to differences, and he helped each one of those individuals accordingly. Jesus doesn't discriminate with us as well. God so loved the world that he gave, and Jesus gave his life. Although, like Jairus, we may ask ourselves, why is God taking so long? Because think about that. There's a delay. But remember that sometimes the Lord's delay brings about even a greater demonstration of his power. More glory to God. And by closing, speaking of his power, Jesus has power to change lives. I know many that I speak to today know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus has done a miracle in your life. He has saved you from the penalty of your sin and the punishment of hell. And now you know your eternal destination is secure in heaven. But there may be some that are tuned in today that Jesus is not their Savior, that their lives haven't been changed by the power of Jesus Christ, and perhaps they're in their sin. And if you are that individual, the Bible tells us that your sin must be dealt with and punished. And that punishment for sin is death and eternal separation from God himself. But that's why God sent Jesus. Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross, to become sin for us. He who knew no sin took our sins upon himself and died and bled on that cross. And that blood is what cleanses us, changes us. And while on that cross, the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ. Jesus he satisfied God's wrath of sin, and he died on that cross. And his body was later buried in a tomb. And praise God, he rose again on the third day. And now he is in heaven, awaiting that time where God says, go, get my children and bring them home. Now Jesus invites you to place your trust and your faith in him and in him alone. Not in me as an individual, not in the pastor of the church, not in your family, not in anything else, but in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. You see, sin is an issue in our lives that only Jesus can truly deal with. Only he can handle it. Why not trust him today? How to deal with issues. Jesus is the only answer to all of life's issues. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise your name for this day that you've given to us. And I thank you for the characters that you've given to us in your word, Heavenly Father. Lord, who came from two different walks of life, two different backgrounds, and just one, the dregs of society, one very important individual. But they had problems. They had issues and things that were beyond their control. But thankfully, Heavenly Father, they knew where to go. And they went to Jesus Christ. And he took care of those issues and those problems. Lord God, you know who in this room and those who have tuned in, what issues and problems that each and every one of us has. And Lord God, may we correctly respond and by seeking your face. And Lord God, even if there is any sin in our lives that has caused that issue or that problem to arise in our lives, may it be confessed. Lord God, perhaps it's something out of our own doing. May we seek your face and still examine ourselves next to your word. Lord God, for those that are Christians, that are believers, Lord God, may we come to you in humility, knowing that there is hope. But for those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord God, may today be that day where they first and foremost get that sin issue dealt with and taken care of by placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. May today be that day of salvation for someone who does not know Jesus, someone who is not a Christian, someone who is lost in their sin. And Lord God, in the way of invitation, as you've laid upon the hearts of those, and you've worked in the hearts of those, you've spoken to somebody today, there's some type of decision that needs to be made. Perhaps just a, Lord God, I'm letting go of this issue, this problem, and placing it in your care, in your hands, because I know that you can handle it. Lord God, if that's a decision today, just to let it go and give it to you and let you handle it. Lord God, if there is any anger, any bitterness that's been involved, Lord, that would be confessed, that sin would be confessed. But Lord God, we would seek your face. I would ask those of you that are in the auditorium this morning, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to go ahead and have an invitation this morning. And if the Lord has spoken to you about anything, I would encourage you, whether there at your chair or at the altar, The altar will be open. As the music plays here in just a moment, the altar will be open. If there's anything the Lord has dealt with you about, you may come. You may be there at your seat. If you're there at home, if the Lord has spoken to you and dealt with you about something this morning, find a place and get alone with God and seek His face. May we just leave it, leave the cares of this life to Him. Thankfully, He cares for our souls. The invitation will begin. The instruments will play. The Lord has spoken to you. Take this time and seek His face.